Researchers at the State University of New York's College of Environmental Science and Forestry want to spread genetically engineered chestnut trees into the wild. First, they must gain approval from the United States Department of Agriculture. The plan is opposed by many environmental groups, including the Indigenous Environmental Network. B.J. McManima, an organizer with the IEN, talks about concerns from an Indigenous perspective.
My name is B.J. McManima, and I am an organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network.
Why is the Indigenous Environmental Network opposed to the genetically engineered American chestnut tree, or the Darling 58, as it is called?
Well, we are against or opposed genetic engineering across the board. But for this Darling 58, this genetically engineered American chestnut, we are even more so because this tree is planned to be put into the forest. No regulations, no oversight, and we're fairly sure that, you know, we could be facing some pretty significant threats in the future for this. These trees live to be 50, 100, 200 years old. And so the consequences of putting this tree that is not native to the forests, to its original territory, is, it's going to have impact. The American chestnut tree originally was a standard bearer of our forests. It provided food for countless animals. It was used by our people, by the settlers that came. The food, the lumber, the wood was coveted. But when the chestnut left the forest, it had a great impact on it. It was a terrible negative impact. But since then, which has been approximately 100 years or so, the forest has recovered. And there's other trees that provide food. And so reintroducing this tree at this juncture, we're not really sure what is going to happen. The problem is, too, that this tree has not been studied long enough. There's a lot more consequences that need to be considered. And just generally, genetically engineering a life form, which of course a tree is, every life form has original instructions. And those original instructions have now been changed. The original instructions also are part of the biodiversity, the biosphere, because every element of the forest interacts in special ways. So we're not exactly sure what this change is going to do in that process. So we are absolutely opposed to changing these original instructions, the DNA, the history of this organism. Additionally, in a lot of indigenous ways, Native American ways, these elements were part of our, not only of our food, but we also use parts of the tree for medicine. And our medicine people have a special language, a special way of communicating with the elements that we use and that they give us to keep us healthy. So changing their original instructions changes the language. So therefore, we can't communicate like we should, like we used to, with this tree. It's another element of consequence and mystery.
So it is clear that the IEN has typical environmental impact concerns. Are there any other that may be a little bit more particular to the indigenous community?
Yes, there are concerns about reintroducing this tree, and some of our people, especially our elders and most of our medicine people, are opposed to genetic engineering, like I said, to begin with. But we have a special relationship with the forest, with our land, with our the indigenous lens that we look through to survive, to thrive, and to prosper. And by introducing a foreign object into our forest, it is absolutely treading on our rights, our treaty rights, our cultural rights, and our self-determination to make these choices on our own. What's going to happen down the road? Because they want to also breed these, cross-pollinate these with some of the survivors that are in the forest now so that they can create another strain, another cousin, if you will. But we don't know what's going to happen in those successive generations. And some studies have shown that successive generations, there's mutations that happen. So we do not know enough about this, and they have not been studying this tree long enough in all of the different situations that they want to put these. They just want to throw them in the anywhere in their original territory, which covers just about the entire East Coast, all the way up into Canada.
The Indigenous Environmental Network sees this as an important issue, but there's two ways the USDA can go with this, either an environmental assessment or an environmental impact statement. The assessment doesn't look so much at cultural concerns, but the EIS does. So is the position of the IEN that there needs to be a more in-depth study and an EIS?
They've changed the makeup of this tree. It is foreign. It doesn't belong there in the forest. It doesn't belong as a part of creation or the biodiversity there. Beyond that, we really haven't been consulted. There has been some work take place by the researchers to the Haudenosaunee in upstate New York. But across the board, there hasn't been widespread consultation. Even though the Haudenosaunee, I am a descendant of the Haudenosaunee, there are other tribes, other nations, communities that need to be consulted on this. They need to be able to ask questions. They need to have answers to what may happen. You know, they need to ask what has been done so far, what have been the results of their tests, and how did they get to where they're at now, and what kind of guarantees can they provide moving forward. So yes, we definitely want an EIS because we need to be consulted on this.
As a representative of the IEN, I know you wanted to make a statement to emphasize certain issues.
Yes, I'd like to add that IEN doesn't speak for all Indigenous peoples. Obviously, I don't speak for all Indigenous peoples. But we are accountable to our relatives, and that includes our non-human relatives that will, you know, in some way be impacted if the USDA approves the deregulation of this tree. It's also why we're demanding that an EIS be produced. We need to have all Indigenous peoples in these regions have an opportunity to be consulted. We need to look closely at what has and hasn't been done before a final decision is made. And everyone needs to understand that this gene used for Darling 58 is for a genetically unrelated organism. There's been significant work done breeding blight resistance to the American chestnut. They're using traditional breeding processes with related tree species that have a natural immunity to the blight. The process is more measured, it's responsible, and it's shown great promise. And it may be successful in the long run in order to integrate this tree back into our lives. You know, I've talked about how important original instructions are to all life forms. And we humans have changed things over the millennia. We've had successes integrating the best or optimal traits with naturally related variants. And in all of these examples, the original instructions are simply added to or appended. But when we forcibly insert foreign DNA, and in this case, it's a wheat gene, it's a genetic instruction that doesn't belong. It's like it's out of context, or it's like out of sequence. It's a genetic trigger that alters the original instructions or process. So finally, one of the more prominent arguments by researchers is the traditional or old methods of breeding this resistance into the tree is taking too long. But by now, I think we should have learned that mistakes are made by moving too fast. This is a terrifically important work, and it means a lot to many people. So let's take our time and do it right.
Thank you.